media members on the line, just hit star one on your keypad if you have questions for the coaches here this morning. We're now welcoming in the call the head coach of the William & Mary Tribe, Mike London. Good morning, Coach London.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well. Congratulations on your victory Saturday, 38-10 over Colgate, a team that the Tribe a year ago lost to 23-0. How much did it mean for your guys to reverse that score in such impressive fashion?
Well, it was important that, you know, much was made about Colgate, which is a very good football team, being a physical football team, being able to run the ball. And they did some things, you know, last year that capitalized on some mistakes, but kind of who they were. And I was pleased to see our team respond back with being able to run the ball physically ourselves, and also from a defense that held them to a certain extent in terms of, yardage and some of the tough runs they had made in the past. So, again, hat goes off to the coaches for putting a great game plan together. We did a great job in all three phases of this game, and it was important that, you know, we kind of forge an identity ourselves in terms of wanting to run the ball, but also being tough on defense to stop the run and still create turnovers. So very pleased with the effort, and looking forward now to getting ready for our next opponent.
I got a media question, Q, if you'll get that for us, Hillary.
You do have a question from John O'Connor with the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Mike Hollis-Mathis obviously has made a big impact for William & Mary. Can you speak to his recruitment? He committed to Howard University, and you as the head coach there, and then when you changed locations, he switched commitments. Can you talk about that situation?
I mean, it's always one of the things in establishing relationships with young men. You know, if you've been coaching long enough, you've experienced some things where young men, you want them to commit to the school, but you can't take away the fact that they develop relationships with people. And Hollis had a great relationship with Coach Marion, who are our offense coordinator and quarterback coach. And, you know, Coach Marion been in that area, in the Pittsburgh, PA area, and established ties there. And, so that's part of it. And him coming here, just adapting the philosophy and being being an out front leader and just a young man that just wants to get good and just be better from all facets of being a student athlete is something that he's taken and he's embraced and he's run with. So he'll continue to get better. I mean, he did some good things this game, and I'm sure he'll continue to do good things. But he's still got a lot to learn. There's still some guys that are surrounding him that can help him get better. And Kilton Anderson being a guy that's right there, being a veteran guy. So there's a lot of a learning curve for him to go through. But at the same time, he's a talented young man.
Hey, if I could follow up by asking about the trip to East Carolina, obviously your second FBS game, would it be safe to assume that won't be the norm for William & Mary going forward with you as coach, two FBS games?
Sometimes things present themselves with opportunities, and it just happened that previous relationships with Coach Husted and where he was before, and what's crazy is the fact that I know a lot of those guys on the East Carolina staff, from the Richmond days and even some Virginia ties with Byron Thweet and Jeff Hansen, Fontel Mines, just a lot of guys as well. And matter of fact, my brother Gary played football there at East Carolina, so he's an alumni. So he's going to wear William & Mary on the front and then East Carolina, on the back. So I don't know how that's going to go. But anyway, it's one of those things. Again, it's an opportunity for our team, to play another good opponent, travel a little bit, have some people travel with us, get some experience. And hopefully this experience with an FBS team will be better than the last experience we had with the last FBS team.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, John.
Your next question comes from Dave Johnson with the Daily Press.
Hey, Mike. Zach Burdick was a kid who didn't play a whole lot the previous 2 years before you arrived. Did you see something in him right away that led you to believe he could be kind of the explosive receiver he's been?
Well, I tell you, Dave, he uh, he's a young man that that obviously very talented. You know, we had a chance to kind of see him through our spring practice. He was kind of nursing a little bit of a, you know, a hip injury, and but he showed some promise, and you know, just knew that he was a guy that could go vertical. And I believe he is still one of the tops in the country in terms of average yards per catch. We talk about the 50-50 ball when you throw it up and have a guy that's got the, you know, the wherewithal to go up and get it positioned and his body to outmaneuver defenders. He's done that. He's done it in practice, and he continues to do it in the game. And so he's definitely an explosive play guy for us. You know, we're very fortunate with him, Ryan Ripley, and Trey Watkins to be able to give them some athletic aid here recently through our Hayfarl group that former student athletes, players that you know, put money together and put us in position to allow to reward, you know, reward some of these players that are walk-ons. And so we had done that last week, and it was great to see that he, Ryan Ripley, and Trey, you know, all of them played well in this past game, but also just represent the high ideas of young men that walk on a program and then have an opportunity to play and contribute in such a big way. So the Hayfarl group for us, you know, that's 100 each year for every rising letterman. They do a great job, and the three young men I just mentioned are benefactors of that. But Zach is a great young man. We're going to continue to try to get the ball down the field to him to be able to create the explosive plays for us that we need.
And to follow up, the opening drive you had Saturday night, which, you know, from an observer standpoint was almost perfect looking. Did that just give the offense a much needed shot in the arm at that point, a shot of confidence?
You know, Dave, it was, you know, a lot of coordinators, play callers, you know, have a script that they go by, and you want to be intentional about what you attack and how you go about doing it, whether, you know, there's runs, quick passes, and then the quarterback run with blockers out in front of them. And so Coach Marion and the offensive guys did a great job of putting the game plan together. And our game plan was to run the ball. It was to be physical. And that kind of came to fruition as the game went on. And the first three possessions, getting scores out of that. You know, we talked about the game before not having explosive plays. When our Lafayette game, we had 15. This game, we had 15 explosive plays, and they had three. So it was one of the things, again, putting the game plan together that worked. And like I said, hat goes off to the offensive guys for doing a great job.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mike, along with the tremendous efforts you got from Hollis and Zach Burdick, Owen Wright, 16 carries, career high, 108 yards in the game, really had some tough runs. Just speak about his performance on Saturday night.
Yes, you know, Owen is starting to slowly emerge as a guy that can, you know, that you can trust giving him the ball. You know, the offense is such that, you know, inside outside zone and trusting the offensive linemen who create those holes that allows, you know, Owen to find it and jump cut or put his foot in the ground and go vertical or bounce it if he has to. So he's done a really good job of you know, of trusting what he sees and allowing the, you know, the offense to work for him. So happy for him. You know, it was great to also see, you know, we had three freshmen, you know, score in the game. Bronson Yoder on the 93-yard kickoff return. Donovan Lester, a true freshman running back from Texas, and then of course Hollis. But it, you know, it's good to see that the ball's being spread around and guys, you know, more guys are having an opportunity to touch it and also score with it.
Talk a lot about the offense, but can't let you get away without talking about that defense that holds Colgate to 215 total yards. Bill Murray and your guys up front, Bill with six tackles, a couple for loss. How impressed were you with your ability to shut Colgate down?
Yeah, you know, once again, our defense, you know, played well, you know, two turnovers, you know, still I believe maybe number one in the country in terms of creating turnovers, and that's always a great opportunity, you know, to I believe out of the 11, 12 possessions they have, seven of them were three and outs, and so when you can do that and play good defense with good players, then you give yourself a chance, you know, to give it back to our offense who they're kind of hitting on all cylinders. So again, Coach Brown and the defensive staff did a good job, and our players, you know, like you said, the Bill Murrays of the world, and you know, Trey Watkins, and you know, Nate, you know, Gavin Johnson, you know, Nate Atkins, you know, Nate. I mean, those guys, they did a great job, and so we're happy about where we are now. But we know that, you know, we got to continue to keep creating those turnovers and those short field opportunities in order for us to be successful.
All right, Mike, thanks so much for taking time with us today. Safe travels to East Carolina, and look forward to talking again next week.
Thank you. All right, have a good day.
Thank you. You too.